Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
You know, sometimes when it comes to Alzheimer's dementia, I did it last week. I kind of made a joke to kind of alleviate some of the fears that we have. And I made the point, I said, if we're going to be back to continue this discussion if I don't forget where I put my keys. And that's not to make fun of anybody that has dementia. That wasn't the intention. And I think we all kind of do that. We kind of use humor as a way of worrying, trying to combat our fears. And unfortunately, I think when it pertains to dementia especially, there are people that will make jokes about it because they think it can't possibly happen to them. I'm a smart guy. I'm a heady guy. This can't possibly happen to me. So we're not afraid to make jokes about it. It's nothing to laugh at. But sometimes I think, and Dee Dee Hansen has been discussing this with us. She's with The Growing Place. People do use humor as a way to maybe lighten the mood, but it's a very serious topic. And what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it is a serious topic. And I think humor is actually a very good coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. And I think we do need to lighten up. And as you said earlier, not to ridicule somebody or try to get a leg up on somebody, mm-hmm. but to just realize, this... This we really need to lighten up and at the same time change our lifestyle.
I remember when President Reagan got Alzheimer's, before he announced he had Alzheimer's, people used to make jokes.
About
his forgetfulness as he got older, even when he was first became president. And I remember it was very harsh and mean.
Yes.
But then once he announced it, everybody backed off.
Yeah.
Democrats backed off. The people who were the haters of Reagan, people who were thought his policies were wrong, they all backed off and said, this is serious now. And all of that ended. And that was one of those moments where I thought, I'm glad to see that nobody kept making jokes about, he had Alzheimer's all through the 8 years in office. And people didn't make those kinds of jokes. They were just off the rail. They didn't belong there. And so I think when we make ways to kind of, we don't want to joke about specifically about what somebody's going through.
No, it's a horrible thing. And God may visit it on us to teach us a lesson.
Don't tempt fate.
Yeah.
Don't tempt fate.
Yeah.
Signs of Alzheimer's. We've been going through these.
Yeah. Would you like to read off the first seven?
I think we did get through seven of them. Memory loss that disrupts daily life.
Uh-huh.
Challenges in planning or problem solving. Difficulty completing familiar tasks. Confusion with time or place.
Mm-hmm.
Trouble understanding visual images and spatial relationships. Word difficulties in speaking and writing.
Mm-hmm.
Misplacing objects and losing the ability to retrace steps. That's where we stop, because I remember last week I commented that this is a very frequent thing with me. I frequently, and I've been doing this since I was in my 30s, 20s, really, where I'm in a hurry. I come into the house. I drop my keys. I put my wallet down, and I'm busy. I got to go to the computer. I got to check something here. I got to go get.
It sounds like you're distracted. Some of the symptoms of ADHD can look like memory loss, and it's just because you're distracted. You're not paying attention.
Not paying it because they are tasks of putting your keys down or putting your wallet down or putting your cell phone down, which is just a regular habit. And so I think it's important, too, for people, because I know a lot of people who go, my wife says the same thing. I misplaced my earrings. I can't find them. What did I do with them?
Yeah.
I think that's something that happens to all of us.
We have to pay attention.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. And then this information is coming from Alzheimer's.org.
Mm-hmm.
For number eight, we have decreased or poor judgment. And you mentioned last week the example of the person who thought that a 10-foot drop of a cliff was just a single step.
Mm-hmm.
Others can just, take off and walking down the street. They don't know where they're going, what they're doing, cross traffic against the light, drive recklessly. It's really scary when someone with dementia won't give up their driver's license.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And even if the DMV revokes their license and the physician says you cannot drive, if that person has access to an automobile, they may still continue.
And they may continue not thinking, not to directly violate a rule, but because they don't realize.
They think I'm fine.
Yeah, nobody ever told me I can't drive an automobile.
Exactly. Remember that guy, was it in Southern California, at this beach resort, who thought he was putting on the brake and he was actually putting on the accelerator, and mm-hmm. he mowed down a whole bunch of people mm-hmm. in a fair or something. I just have a...
I vaguely remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So decreased or poor judgment. Number nine, withdrawal from work or social activities. This is a huge hint. Very often people who develop dementia try to hide it. They're scared. They don't know what's happening to them. They're not sure what's happening. So they just decide, I'm not going to go and put myself in a situation where I feel confused. So I think it's time for me to retire. Or, no, I don't want to go over to Lucy's house for bridge tonight, you know, even though we've done it every Tuesday night or Wednesday night. I think I'll just stay home. And they begin to withdraw. So when you see somebody isolating, withdrawing...
But there are some people who isolate just because they prefer a change of lifestyle. Is that possible?
Yeah, everything that we're talking about has another possible explanation.
Because I find myself saying, you know, just out of it's a preference, I would rather spend more time with my kids and family than I would going hanging out at a work function.
But see, withdrawal means it's something you used to do and now you're not doing anymore.
Right, okay.
So it's more of a dramatic change.
I see.
Of choices,
okay.
Rather than I don't feel like going there today,
mm-hmm.
or it's my kid's birthday, I'm going to spend it with him.
Yeah, I'm really reluctant to challenge you on these things because sometimes I feel like I'm giving myself away, that maybe people are sitting here and are judging me and saying, well, he must have something, because sometimes it sounds like I'm trying to play the other side.
I think that any sane person listening to our voices is running the inventory for themselves and for their loved ones.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I would be doing.
We have one more we're going to discuss, the top 10 signs of Alzheimer's. And then we'll get into some prevention techniques for dementia. We'll continue our discussion with Dee Dee Hanson at The Growing Place, talking about dementia, the signs of it, and what can be done to prevent it. We'll continue our chat right after this.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is live local talk.
So wake me up when it's all over.
When
I'm wiser and I'm older.
Here we go.
All this time.
All right, now we can talk. Sound is down. Okay. Welcome back to the show. Dee Dee Hanson is a licensed family and marriage therapist over at The Growing Place. She's very good. And if you want to ever give her a call or get in touch with somebody there for some issues you may have, her number is 588-0448. And you could go to their website, tgplace.org, talking with her about the top 10 signs, just the 10 signs of Alzheimer's, found at ALS.org. And we've been going through lists. We have like one more to go through, and it's, Gita, I'll let you say.
Okay, it's changes in mood and personality.
Okay.
And this is a huge giveaway. Like somebody who's always been very peaceful mm-hmm. is suddenly beginning to feel very frustrated because they can't remember things and they're too scared to say anything about it. So they've got fear, anxiety, frustration. And you ask a simple question like, good morning, what would you like for breakfast? They don't know what you're saying, or they don't know how to articulate what they want for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So you may see a huge anger response.
Okay.
You may see a temper tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
Or you may see depression and apathy, and they look at you blankly.
And really, any one of these could be a sign. We have 10 of them, and it could be just one of these is all you need. But you could have all 10 of these happening at one time, in which case you have
a
situation in which this person can't even function and cannot be capable of doing anything other than laying in his bed.
I don't know. And again, I'm not a physician. I'm not an expert in this. But I would imagine, you know, you need to have some pretty good evidence besides, and there are tests. You can go to a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. If anybody out there is worried about this, mm-hmm. make an appointment with a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. They can run diagnostic tests. They will measure all of these areas and can give you a good report. And if you catch it early enough, don't say, well, I'm not going to go because, you know, I don't really have this. The earlier it's intercepted, the better it is for you. And there mm-hmm. are some medications for early on, but it eventually progresses to a state where there's not much you can do.
Eventually. So you're just talking about containing it to make it to extend it so that you're able to continue a normal life for as long as you can
right.
until it just takes over your mind.
Yeah, until the brain just begins to shut down and die is basically what happens.
But I think there is hope. I mean, you never like to give up hope. The hope that something will be done to create a cure for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that there's...
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that because in the book of Daniel, in the Bible, I believe that Nebuchadnezzar got dementia. Mm-hmm. Do you remember where he ate grass like the beasts and his hair grew out like feathers and his fingernails got really long and he Ooh. Forgot how to talk? And then God healed him of it. And it says that God put him in his right mind
mm-hmm.
and he was able to resume the throne. I mean, to me, that is a picture of dementia where
well,
God
sure
healed
is.
Him. And after that, he had been so humbled and he wrote that letter to everybody in the realm that there's only one God and it's the God of the Hebrews. Mm-hmm. Remember that? That would be an interesting thing to revisit and just read what were the symptoms that Nebuchadnezzar showed there.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
We have now, so we've gone through the top, the 10 signs of Alzheimer's.
Yes.
And if you want to...
Yeah, now let's talk about prevention. And this is what I really want to focus on because we've mm-hmm. talked about all this kind of depressing, difficult stuff for
yeah.
weeks.
Yeah.
And we owe the listeners and ourselves some encouragement. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting this from helpguide.org. Mm-hmm. And they have six activities that an individual can do to help prevent dementia. One is regular exercise. Now, how many times have we heard that and ignored it?
Yeah.
Now you start linking it to dementia, and it maybe won't be so easy to ignore this time.
Yeah, because I think when it comes to regular exercise, keep your heart flow going and keep, you know, staying in shape.
Blood flow to the brain,
yeah, so
brain alive.
You could say, okay, yeah, that's important for me so I don't have a heart attack. So you can visualize that. Whereas now you're like, regular exercise is going to make a difference on my brain. Maybe you don't think that's really possible.
Well, this is the same idea you just said. Blood mm-hmm. flow to the brain, mm-hmm. and it stimulates parts of the brain. When we exercise, we have to use parts of the brain that govern our balance, our movement. These are things that go with mm-hmm. dementia, balance and movement. Mm-hmm. So we want to keep those parts of the brain alive and active and blood flow and those beautiful neurons, you know, sparking and mm-hmm. and being happy. Plus, when we exercise, it releases the endorphins, you know, the feel-good hormones that tell your whole system, you know, you have a sense of well-being. This is all brain health.
Mm-hmm.
To have a sense of well-being is brain health. All and
right.
and we need to cultivate that. Then the second wonderful prevention for dementia is a healthy diet. Again, mm-hmm. we hear this and we go, yeah, you know, huh. I don't have to care about this. Well, maybe some people out there are scared enough now. I know I am. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pay attention to my diet.
Well, you know, when you're young, you don't think about that because you think you're going to live forever. Because
yes.
as it always,
it's a delusion.
It is a delusion. You go, okay, I'm 22 years old, and the great image I always have in my mind is that tape of, you know, from 1 to 80 inches, right?
Uh-huh.
And when you're on 22. You say, oh, I got 58 more inches to go. I got
Maybe.
A long way,
yeah.
you know? I mean,
yeah.
that's what you're thinking.
Yeah.
But then when you get to be, say, 65, you know, there's only 15 of inches left on that tape measure. And so you start thinking, we're going to take a break. But you kind of wish, oh, God, I wish we had thought about that when I was younger. So we'll continue that. We're talking about the ways in which you can try to prevent dementia from coming to you in your later years while we're still young. We'll continue our discussion with Didi after this.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
Yeah, dieting's no fun. You want to eat what you want to eat. You know, and I'm that's one of my biggest guilt things. I looked at it and said, I get outside. I do a lot of walking. I climb up a lot of stairs. And maybe I don't do as much working out as I should, but I think I do a lot of activity. But my my weakness is trying to eat a healthy diet, and that's important. I know Gidi Hansen is talking about that with us. She's with The Growing Place discussing the importance of a healthy diet, particularly as you get older. And by having a healthy diet now will help you as you get older to perhaps help you prevent getting dementia of some kind.
God willing. And, you know, diet doesn't necessarily mean food restriction. It just means wiser choices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just means, and we have habits and we have, you know, little sugar addictions or whatever. But we can change those.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of healthy thinking is I can make positive changes. If we're already thinking, I cannot make positive changes in my life, we're well on our way to ANTS, automatic negative thought thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to break out of that. And, you know, the brain, again, I'm not an expert, so I just want to give that disclaimer. This is, I've read this. It's not because it's my profession. I'm not a physician.
Mm-hmm.
But the brain is made out of water and fat. And if we restrict, and it likes glucose. And if we restrict a lot of fat in our diet, we're literally causing our brain to shrink. But the wrong kind of fat will fill our arteries full of plaque,
mm-hmm.
hurt our heart, cause us to have a bulging waistline. So we want to eat the good fats. We mm-hmm. want to eat the good oils like olive oil, the good fish like salmon or sardines, that have the omega-3s, or take your omega-3 supplement. We want to eat nuts and things like that, legumes, things that have the good fat for
almonds
us.
Almonds are good too, aren't they?
Almonds, every kind of nut.
But not
in
the salty
moderation.
Ones. Not the salty ones.
Well, we do need some salt, but not too much salt.
Yeah. Those salty almonds, man, they get the best of me all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can change our tastes. You know, we can change what we like and don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I firmly believe in that. We're not set in a groove that we can never get out of. We're mm-hmm. not in a rut. And there's so much information online about this. And again, Dr. Amen on his website has all kinds of information about diet, exercise, supplements that you can take for brain health. And he has a new book coming out in November, The Brain Warrior. Or you could just buy one of his books and have everything there at your fingertips as to what to do for brain health. And then the third thing that is very important for dementia prevention is what we call social engagement. This means interaction with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Having friends. This is, I believe, one of the reasons why faith-based people who go to church regularly tend to have fewer diseases and tend to have better outcomes of really bad diseases is because they have the social interaction. Of course, we would add they have the relationship with God, which is a huge factor. So if somebody is, let's say, an introvert and very shy and doesn't know how to engage with others, maybe just for the sake of brain health, they're going to push themselves outside their comfort zone and begin to try to have social interactions with people.
That's an interesting one. I'm having a hard time connecting how that would affect. Because
it uses parts of your brain.
But you could use parts of your brain. An introvert could use parts of his or her brain as well, just by even if he or she likes to remain alone and likes to do, you know, crossword puzzles.
That's true, but there's...
Get engaged.
And we're
going
to get to that. Yeah. We're going to get to that. So we're talking about prevention, mm-hmm. like... Mm-hmm. Everything you can do.
Okay.
Not just one thing you can do or two things you can do.
And it goes to the net, dovetails nicely into the number four on dementia prevention. We have regular exercise, healthy diet, social engagement, mental
Yeah, but
stimulation.
I wanted to spend a few more minutes on that social engagement, because in social engagement there has to be a certain level of mental health in order for one to make and keep a friend,
mm-hmm.
in order for one to know how to navigate in a healthy way in a work environment. You know, everybody knows the intrigues that go on in offices.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows about office politics. So how do you navigate that? The sooner we address these issues in our lives and not let our circumstances overwhelm us to the point where now I want to isolate.
I see.
Or now I want to quit this job because I really can't get along with my boss. Mm-hmm. These are all aspects of social engagement. It shows a certain level of healthy thinking.
Strategizing.
Yes.
Because you mentioned office politics. Office politics involves strategizing in terms of, you know, not in a negative way, not in a duplicitous way, you know, or a phony way, but saying, okay, I have to negotiate a relationship with a coworker. I have to negotiate a relationship with a supervisor. And how do I do that? So you're using your brain to kind of, I don't want to say, not try to be tricky.
Well, it is problem solving.
Problem solving.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, and you want to do it in a non-manipulative way.
Exactly, and not just say, you know what, I don't like this person. I don't want to know this person.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to this person. I'm going to just pull back from that. Now, there might be some people you really need to do that with
if they're dangerous.
If they're dangerous people,
but not if they're irritating necessarily.
Right, because they might not view themselves as irritating, and they might view you as irritating.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's yeah.
And the thing
politics.
Is, we cannot control other people, nor should we try.
Mm-hmm.
But we can control our own responses.
Okay.
And this is the part of the mental health. Mental health, psychological health. Mm-mm. Is so important to dementia prevention. It's not on help guides list that I'm reading from, but it's on my list.
It's probably a good thing to do anyway, whether it's social engagement or not. I mean, it's a good idea to try to get along better with people. And so we're going to take a break, and we'll continue talking with Gidi Hansen for The Growing Place next week on dementia. And Gidi, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next time. So long.